My name's David. I have the pleasure of leading the Hove site. It's great to welcome you. It's nice to see some Christmas jumpers as well. I've never quite ventured down the Christmas jumper sort of front, but it looks, you know, they do look great. Just to say, yeah, warm welcome. It's good to see you. My mum, in fact, asked me quite a poignant question yesterday. Quite a scary question. The reason it was scary, we were kind of doing 50 miles an hour in the car as I was driving her home, and she said to me, do you mind if we don't have your Nana's Christmas stuffing this year for Christmas dinner? And literally, I needed to pull over and sort of process that for a moment because, as I'm sure you can tell from my daughter and myself, food and Christmas dinner certainly very important to us as a family. Needless to say, we secured Nana's stuffing for another year, which I'm very pleased about. that's quite how I feel. Just to say, big warm welcome. I'm just going to spend sort of 30 minutes or so just looking at some teaching from the Bible. I guess the Bible has been referenced a couple of times already in the service, and we will do sort of throughout the meeting. Just to say that I believe that this book, this is my copy of the English Bible, has been translated into actually thousands of different languages, is written by humans. But the important thing and the thing that holds dear to us is that I believe that it's been architected by God himself. You know, often we get these amazing buildings and, you know, the people who put this building up is ascribed and accredited to the architect who designed and came up with the ideas. You know, no mention to the laborers who spent hours and hours of time putting the building together. And I believe that, you know, God architected the Bible and that he's through men's writing down, that they were writing down what God wanted to communicate to mankind. Also, to help us today, we're going to be looking at a well-known Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Anyone like that song? Anyone like singing it at Christmas time? Just want to use that this morning. It's personally my favourite, after obviously Santa Baby's a well-known Christmas carol that I like as well. But I'm just going to use that to unpack a little bit and to help find some meaning. It's a few complicated things in that song that just maybe need some explanation, so I thought we'd do that today. I'm also not wearing shoes. There is a very good reason for that that will be made clear in a moment as well. But to help us, I've asked just a number of people around the room just to stand out and read some lines from the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It was a song that was written in 1739, roughly about the sort of time that Tottenham Hotspur last won the Premier League. And what we... I can't help it. I'm sorry. There's an inbuilt... there are three verses to this song, and each of the different verses help us explore something different of the Christmas story and the Christmas message. So I just feel it would be, you know, very festive and will help us in our way today. So the person who's got number one, would you mind standing up and reading nice and loud? Thank you, Paul.
Hark! The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Brilliant. First thing just to draw out is just the word hark itself. It's a bit of an odd word that we don't really use much in society, and it actually just means listen, just quite punctuated with an exclamation mark. Hark, listen. Being a man, that doesn't fall into my top 10 of skills that I naturally have of listening. Ask my wife Anna, it's not necessarily something you'd say is one of my strengths, but just right from the start, it's just important, I think, just for us as a community and us as humanity, really, just to just stop for a moment and just to listen. And often the phrase, you know, you hear on the radio, people ringing in and moaning, all these Christians have hijacked Christmas. And it's a sort of unfolding this morning that Christmas is about Jesus. We're looking at who is in the manger as a sort of theme for this morning. But just stop for a moment. We've got a moment this morning just to listen. I was in Primark early yesterday, and literally at 9 o'clock, people fighting over the changing rooms, and, you know, the hustle and bustle, and the massive queues for the car park, and people have in-laws round and fighting over remotes, and I want to watch Downton Abbey, and someone else wants to watch this, and big arguments erupt, and just taking a moment just to stop, just to listen, and just to have a think about really who is in the manger and the importance of that. It says in Luke chapter 20, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. No surprise. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, on whom his favour rests. And the first step to embracing Christmas is to listen, not necessarily to me or what I've got to say, but just listening to this message that that the angels were so keen. It may be that you're terrified like the angels. It may be that this is the first time you've ever stepped foot inside a church building. You know, the shepherds were terrified. It can seem very terrifying. But just, you know, I like to think of this as my front room, just inviting you just to come and just to listen to the good news that's held out on offer. Number two.
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
One of the first things that Jesus said in his life on earth when he was a man was, he just said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." And one of his gifts this morning is peace. Now, we live in a culture where, you know, it's sort of two fingers and rock and roll and peace out, brother. And, you know, we use the word quite flippantly, but actually, if we unpack even what the word peace means, that the word peace means to join something back together that once was broken. Now, the Bible's really clear. It says at the start of the book that, you know, human beings had a relationship with God, that we were built and designed to know him, to be in relationship with him, to enjoy him. And that was broken. So there was a breaking of that relationship. And it, you know, comes down to the twee Sunday school story of Adam and Eve. And she did something naughty. She ate an apple and naughty Eve. But actually had significant bearing on humankind, and the sort of, I guess, 6,000 years roughly that humans have been on the planet has had just a monumental impact on that relationship that humans are, it says the Bible really clearly, are separated from God because of that, because they turn their back on him. And in essence, the peace is, you know, the point of Jesus' life is joining that back together. And we'll see as we unpick this story a little bit more about how that occurred. But the message, and even one of the gifts that we can receive as listeners to this message, is we can know peace with God. That is the heart of this story, is that as human beings, again, we can have that relationship restored with him. Number three. Go for it, Max.
Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the star. With the heavenly host proclaims, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. Again, we're in Hove, actually. like it, sounds good, doesn't it? I say it all the time. We're in Hove, it's 11:30. There's a good number of us in the room, probably 130 in the room. But this is bigger than just even this room right now, or even just in Hove, that we are joining with, statistically right now on the planet, I think 2 point something billion people would say that they are Christians around the world. 33 million would say that they are Christians even in the United Kingdom alone. But it's even bigger than that, that we, as we're singing, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know, and the carols, it's bigger than this room, that we are joining with not only the millions and millions of people around the earth, but also with heavenly beings as well, joining this celebration that, you know, the angels interrupted the shepherds. We're joining in with that song that they are singing in celebrating this great news about this king. And so step one this Christmas, about listening, about just taking that moment to think about, you know, who, what is it, how is he, you know, who's come in the manger, what is this Christmas about? I know, you know, the temptation is we get swept up in food and presents and family and journey and driving and things like that, but just taking a moment just to step back to listen to this message. Number four.
Christ by heaven, Lord, Christ the everlasting Lord.
Revelation chapter 22 just says of Jesus that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so, you know, at the start of this book, though it's talking, looking forward to Jesus, that actually everything is about him, that even our time in history right now is built to him. The Alpha and the Omega says that Jesus is the first and the last, that he covers all things. And so everything, as we interact with our daily lives and timings and things like that, actually we're just looking at this amazing person who is there. It's relevant in 2015. It's relevant right now. It's not just sort of some historical message that happened back in the past, but part of him being the beginning and the end means that wherever we join that story, that it has relevance and meaning to us. Number five.
Let
Galatians says, but when at the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. That there was a precise moment in history that the baby arrived, that the angels announced, that the angels celebrated, that, you know, all of a sudden, just, you know, your standard day, I was just watching Sky Sports, and all of a sudden these angels appeared and told me that there was a baby. But there was a set time in history for humanity to receive this king and person arriving, that it was announced, you know, with a star, it was announced with a chorus of angels. And even thinking about, you know, historically, that we can trace back the birth of Jesus to this moment. And verse 2 of this amazing carol is all about understanding the significance of who this baby is. And understanding that it isn't, you know, little baby in a manger, and wasn't that nice. But historically it's been traced that we call it 2015, that we recognise it's 2015 years after the birth of Christ. And, you know, even in the battle that we're having now in society, trying to, being politically correct, I think the BBC are trying to get rid of BC and AD and trying to replace it with before the Common Era and the Common Era. And, you know, Boris Johnson wrote a helpful article about how ridiculous that is. And even public figures recognising, actually, we can't escape the historical fact that 2015 years ago, there was a baby born in a manger that is traceable. The very thing that they were doing in Bethlehem was going for the census to be counted. And part of the, you know, great thing about that and the wisdom of that is that it's traceable through archives and traceable through history that this baby was born. And I know it sounds weird, you know, offspring of a virgin's womb. I teach kids RE at school, one of my jobs, and, you know, teenagers, well, you can't have a baby without having sex. And, you know, that whole thing of how weird that sounds and how awkward that sounds. And, you know, I admit, it sounds really weird. You know, if we went to County Hospital right now, there wouldn't be many people who would be saying, yeah, I didn't have sex, but somehow I've got a baby. But just speaking very plainly that, you know, Matthew just says it as clear as you like, that this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, I would argue and stand here and just confidently say, I agree it sounds weird, but it's only ever happened once. It's only ever happened once that a child inside of a mother being conceived of a child has only ever happened once. And it's the significance of that once that makes it so prominent and so important. And the deal with being conceived by the Holy Spirit is understanding the magnitude and the importance of who the child is. Line number 6 will help us nicely with that. Very good. Thank you. So veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. And so John chapter 1 says that the word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It says in Colossians that the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And so we're talking about, oh, God in a body sounds nice and twee and sounds, you know, what does it actually mean? But the word Godhead is describing God and who he is. And the Bible, you know, we say, oh, the Bible says God is love and isn't that very nice? But actually, the Bible says a few other things about who God is. It says that God is spirit. It says that God is light, that God is love. And so we've got this spiritual being that we refer to as God. But now we've got this amazing conception of a child who is God in bodily form. Now, I was thinking, you know, how on earth do I illustrate something so complicated? And then, you know, I came across a very clever idea. It seemed like a great idea at the time. I'm not quite sure how clever it is. And this is hence the reason I had to kind of remove my shoes. My little... See, I don't do Christmas jumpers, but I do this. I mean, what am I thinking? You want one? Primark. I'll put the phone away. That's not fair.
Too late.
Too late. So, on we go.
First service. Too late.
So, I suppose I need to go for the full effect, really, don't I? What do you think? Yeah, okay, I'm hot. I've had enough. Keep it on. No chance. So, the illustration. Who is this baby? That the fullness and the bigness and the greatness and the spiritual indescribability of God. It's hard. How can we describe what God is like? Very difficult. And so what we find in the person Jesus is the fullness of who God is wrapped up in human flesh. And so Jesus looks like you or I, came as a man, you know, was a carpenter, lived a life like you and I. But the unique thing about him was that he was both fully God and fully man at the same time. And there's an important reason for that, because someone had to come and connect and bring healing to that relationship between a spiritual God and earthly human beings. And so in that person wrapped up in Jesus, that's why it's so amazing. That's why this baby, we're still going on about it 2,015 years later, is because it wasn't just a baby. He wasn't just in a manger. The manger's still empty, as is the grave where they killed him is still empty. And as Steve has mentioned already, that he's still alive and still with us. How can that be? That's so weird, you're saying God's here. But I'd argue, if God is all-powerful, if he is all-powerful, then surely he can defy even the creation that he made in the first place. And again, it's only ever happened once in this superb person, Jesus. People will say, he's a nice teacher, wasn't he a nice man? He was so much more than that. Actually, he was quite offensive, he was quite rude, you know, and just like strong in his character. He wasn't just sort of... And his style was not to stand on a platform and just tell everyone how rubbish they are. And this is where, just speaking quite honestly, as Christians, you hear it on the news sometimes or see other people just standing on Oxford Street. You're all sinners. You're a sinner. God hates you. You're a sinner. That just so far removed from how Jesus did it. So what Jesus did was, rather than just sort of broadcast how terrible humans were, he clothed himself and came as a human and lived amongst people. He went round to people's houses for dinner. What he didn't do was he didn't go to the religious sort of top drawer people who were in their holy sort of castle and, you know, telling everyone, waving their finger in the mansions. He went to the poorest people and he ate his food with them. That he gave his, you know, let's have food together, let's eat. Look, I'm not worried about religion, I'm worried about people. That's the astonishing thing. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Incarnate just means embodied deity, that Jesus is a deity, that he's a powerful God, a powerful being, and he's clothed in flesh like us. Number 7.
Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
He's pleased to dwell with us. He's pleased to be around us. That's quite an astonishing thing. I don't stand here as the perfect person and think, well, he's blooming well should be pleased to be with me. I'm great. He's pleased to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And so it's so right we say, I believe he is with us. I can know him. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. So the second point is just receiving Jesus in his greatness and understanding who he is and the truth about who he is as well. We have very conceived ideas about what we think Jesus is, but I present to you this morning that he's the God-man that we can know. Verse 3 looks at the achievements of Jesus and what he did and why that is of such significance to us. So if I have number 8, please, that would be great.
Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail, the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with a King in his wings.
Some great poetry written in these couple of lines. Hail means praise. So we're to give praise. Why do we sing? You know, why some people waving their hands in the air? It's just celebration. You know, you cheer when you see someone you like or famous. You know, I like football. I'm sure that's pretty obvious with my illustrations. You know, praise, you know, giving cheer and thanks and praise to the players and worship to a team. You know, we're a gathered people who as you can probably tell, think very highly of Jesus and who he is. And so we just sing and we want to celebrate what he's done. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. This is quite poetic language. This was written from a section of the Bible that was before his birth, and it was looking forward to what Jesus was like, and it was trying to tell people who didn't have the benefit of hindsight and the written records of his life. And they were saying it was like this, you know, so risen with healing in his wings. If you can imagine a landscape that's pitch black. I'm a golfer with a family. It doesn't lend itself naturally to a sort of family sport. Sorry, love, I'm just off for 4 hours. So I often go very early in the morning. So 4:30 a.m. is not unknown for my golfing exploits. And one of the joys, you tee off in the dark. That's normally a good thing. Oh, I didn't see where that landed. I hit another one. But one of the great things about that is I go on the downs and you see the sunrise. And you see like the first rays of light, and just it's quite incredible how like the sunlight immediately dispels the dark. And what this passage is basically saying is that looking to Jesus is a little bit like looking for the sun to rise on a dark morning. So the freezing cold, it's pitch black, and the ray of sun pierces through the darkness and brings warmth. And it brings light, and it brings life. And plants cannot grow without the sun. The root, you know, the plants cannot spring out of the ground until it receives sunlight. And what Jesus does, and receiving Jesus brings life to us. That humans, you know, one of the consequences of sin is that we often go around in life feeling guilty, and we carry guilt, and we carry shame, and we carry fear, and we carry anxieties, and we carry worry, and we carry all this sort of stuff around, and it can feel quite dark. People who suffer from depression will often say it's like a dark cloud. And what I believe is that the remedy that Jesus brings to those situations is like a ray of sunlight smashing into those sort of situations that bring life and healing and bring happiness into those things. That Jesus says, I am in him was life, and that life was the light to all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And it's basically saying that all of us were dark. And rather than Christians sort of just chucking mud at others and saying, well, you rotten sinners, the real truth of this news is that all humanity was in the same boat. And it's just, you know, same as me. I've just received this life, and this light has penetrated into my dark areas. So rather than me carrying around my guilt and shame, I can receive Jesus' light and his life. And it's a very clever play on words, this song. It uses the word sun, as in sunshine, and it flicks it round the other side of Jesus being alive to the word sun, as in S-O-N. And so the Son of God is like the sunshine who brings light and life into people's lives. Number 9, please.
Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them a second birth.
So we've got the three borns. You may like the born identity and, you know, see what I've done there. The three borns. These three lines just smash out in one quick hit. You know, we sing it so often. It's the crescendo of the song, the climax of the song, and, you know, often sung with great gusto, but actually just knocks out the park, really, what Jesus has achieved on our behalf and why this is so important. It says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And so, firstly, he's saying that he was born that humans may no longer die. So born that man no more will die. And this is, it might sound quite a harsh and a flippant thing to say, but Jesus' sole purpose for being born was actually to die. He's the only human being that's ever been born from a mother that their sole purpose in life was to die. Now, this is quite a sensitive thing even for me to say as a family. We lost my younger sister, when she was 8 weeks old, you know, December the 3rd, you know, 30 years ago, was when us as a family had to come to terms with losing a child. I was very young at the time, and obviously a bigger deal for my parents, but trying to process that, well, what went wrong then? Did God mean that to happen? And actually, what I believe is that one of the consequences of sin isn't just that, you know, humans were very naughty and got told off and God chucked them out. Actually, it completely changed DNA inside human beings. And so, sickness, death were not God's original design for human beings. And so I can, you know, say that actually it is not God's intention for babies to die. Actually, it's the consequence of sin altering human beings that mean people die and are sick. And I know that's even for our church family quite a timely and sensitive thing for me to say. We, you know, friends of ours lost a baby even last week. And did God mean that to happen? No, the intention is life. The consequence of sin means that human beings are changed and altered. But Jesus was very different, that he was born so that actually we can live. And what does that mean? It means that there is life after death, I strongly believe. I believe that starts the moment we receive the life of Jesus. And so I was a teenager in India, and I realized that Jesus was more than just a religion. I realized that I could know him, that he'd change my life, and I put my trust in Jesus. And that moment, my life changed, that my spiritual life changed. It talks in the song about born to give the second birth, that obviously I was born as a human being, but there was something that was birthed in me that was life, a spiritual life, that union or that joining together with Jesus, that mending of the relationship with God. It says that I am the mediator. Jesus said that in 1 Timothy that I am the mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for many. And that's why he had to be God. That's why the baby had to be fully God, because there had to be someone who could interact with God on our behalf. And so he came as a human being, mending the relationship with spiritual God so that I put my trust in him and that I can know that life inside of me as well. And so that's the hope of the Christian message, is that we can know life forever with Jesus, that we can know spiritual life forever with him, that he paid his death on the cross, meant that I don't have to die myself, that I can know him and live with him forever. And I understand that a lot of that sounds very confusing, and I'd be delighted just to explain that a lot more. But in the time that I have, just the significance of his life and death is massive for humanity. It's the changing point that all of human life sort of hinges on, that moment when he died and he rose again. Exciting. Number 10, if you could finish us off, please.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
A reminder just to listen. Men need to be told a number of times, so I'm told. Anna has to tell me at least three times before it goes in. Nathan shaking his head, obviously, mate, you're a good man. I present this morning, listen to him, see the significance, see what he's done for us. And I close by just saying, just let that soak in. Even over this season of fun and festivities and laughter, let that sink in. And I won't be walking around all day thinking religious thoughts. Jesus came and he ate and drank, but it's just taking that moment just to connect with the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe for the very first time. Maybe understanding a little bit more about who Jesus is for the very first time. And it's just, even this morning, a just chance to receive that and let that sink in. I'm just going to pray, and we're going to sing another song just to finish. Hark the herald angels sing. We might sing another one after that. It's timely, wasn't it, to sing that at the end. But let me just pray in closing. Jesus, I thank you for coming to earth. I thank you that you valued me so much that you decided to restrict yourself with human flesh and become God in a body. I thank you for your life and your death. I thank you that I can know freedom from guilt. I can know freedom from anxieties. I can know freedom from fear. I can know freedom even from shame, that you taken that away. I thank you for mending the relationship with God. I thank you that I can know life because you gave your life for me. I just pray for brothers and sisters here today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them understand that. I pray that some of what I've said would connect in with their own minds and hearts. Amen.